Man, pumped you're with us. Good to see so many coming out to the 11 o'clock service. Man, we are in this series called But As For Me. And man, we're pumped that you would come out and worship with us. But man, I just think as we just have come to a place to have our time of communion and have our time of worship, man, I want to walk out of this place like I said in the beginning. Man, I want to walk out of this place like we've been to a feast. And man, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Man, I want Sundays, I do, man. This is my goal. I want Sundays to be your most amazing, incredible, most looked for day when you come into the house of the Lord. And you gather together as a family. You can't wait to feast. Hope you're hungry for the word of God. Throughout the week, I hope you're hungry and feasting on his word. Because the Bible says in Psalm 119:14 that his word brings hope, that our hope is in his word. We're going to talk about hope this morning. We're talking about, but as for me. And this is just, I've been loving this series. Probably have one, maybe two more weeks in this series. And we talked last week about, but as for me, I will trust in you, oh God. I say you are my God. And we come to this place where when you walk in that confidence, and I heard it throughout this week, love the testimonies where you banked on and you understood what it meant. Say, listen, I don't have to know. My trust is in him. Therefore, when it's really a deep trust, I don't have to know because I know that he knows. And there is this foundation in that of trust. And listen, I don't need to know. I'm trusting in him. But what I do know is he knows and I'm okay with that. And I heard so many testimonies this week on that you put that in your heart and you banked on that and you fed on that throughout the week and it blessed you. And I'm looking at this because when you understand what it is, but as for me, I will trust in you, oh God. I say you are my God, and you flip that, then comes hope. Because when I build on trust, then it leaks into hope. You come to this place to realize, but as for me, my hope will continually be of you. Church, what happens when we begin to lose hope? And listen, it doesn't take long. And if you actually leave your house and you go to any store, you begin to realize people need hope. People have lost hope. And there is a very, very real, please hear this. There's a very serious, real shortage of hope today. And then people just walk in that line of giving up. And then what happens when we're in this place this morning, when we gather so much and we see what hope can do, and we walk out of this place and we begin to really, truly not just look at where we're at, but begin to look at the world and begin to look at the people in our little bubbles. We see the people at Tim Hortons. We see the people at Stuff Mart. We see the people in wherever you choose to shop. And you see that there are people who just, they walk like this. They can't smile for the life of them, and they're broken, hurting people. But what happens? You and I, full of the Holy Spirit, power and might, that we walk into a place. Man, listen, I'm full of hope. And that doesn't mean you got your game together. That doesn't mean you're on your A game. That doesn't mean everything's perfect, but we understand our hope doesn't come from our circumstance. Man, our hope comes from Christ. He is our ultimate hope. What happens when you walk in these places? You get it today. You walk out of this place going, yes. Man, I need to be the hope of the world. People need to see some hope in me so that they can come to the hope who is Christ, and that he can come to a place to just interfere with lives. I believe that's what we're called to do, is interfere with lives in such a real way that when people walk away from you, there's something different. Man, there is this, man, they just dropped something on me. And I just, man, how do they have so much hope? And then it leads into a conversation of who we have our hope in. Come on, we're going to get this today, man. Turn with me, please. Psalm 71. And I love this. Father, please help us, man. Help me to deliver this in a way, God, that we just walk out of this place full. Your word is alive and it is powerful. Father, this is truth. Our hope is in you. That's where our hope comes from. Our hope is in you, Lord. And I thank you for today. And I thank you for this series. But as for me, focus on you, Father. Me and you, right here. Me and you. Focused on you. And I love you, and I thank you for these people. We'll walk out of this place different. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Man, I've been praying for you. I want you to know that. Every person who walks through these doors, I was here early this morning, and I was here last night just praying and walking around and walking through the aisles and just believing that God, by his Spirit, will do something so real in our spirits. It can't be just something shallow, man. It's got to go into our souls and into our spirit, connected to the Holy Spirit. And we walk out of this place going, oh, that was, God, you did something today. I believe that happens in our time of worship, and I believe that happens in our time of word. Then we get into this, and I want you to see this. And just even this morning, just praying through this, and it came to my heart that there's this connection between hope and joy. Because people get confused and think maybe it's the same. But they are like brother and sister. And this is just from my time this morning in his presence, just praying and walking and just thinking and just, and I think we can walk in the connection of hope and joy. And when you understand where have you ever seen somebody who's full of joy and they're bubble over with joy, then you can equate that they have hope. And hope, it simply means this: there's light at the end of the tunnel. That's simply what it means. What happens if you come to somebody and they're just, man, they're down and they're out and they're crushed and they are walking hopeless, and you come to the place and just simply say, listen, lift your eyes up. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Man, and you begin to build something. That's what hope means. It means a confident expectation. As I wait on you, I am confident in my expectation to know that the game ain't over yet and that there's light at the end of the tunnel. And then you see those people who are full of hope. And they're going through it, man. They're getting hit and they're walking. But yet they got enemies on all sides and they're walking. But yet they have this thing called hope that speaks and sticks to their souls and their hearts. And you see, even in a bad circumstance, there still is this supernatural joy that is with them. Listen, hope and joy isn't the same, but it is definitely connected as a brother and a sister. When you have one, man, you can tap into the other. But those who have no joy, you find that it's very difficult for them to find hope. And I want you to see this. I want you to see this in Psalm 71, because we've gone over so many places in Psalms from Joshua that you need to know the author behind the author, behind the statement of, but as for me. We got into who Joshua was in Joshua 24, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then we got into King David, and David when he was young and when he was king, and we looked at, but as for me, I will trust in you, O God. And you got to know a little bit about the one who was able to make that statement. And what I love about Psalm 71 is we don't know who wrote this one. Many scholars believe, well, maybe it's David. Well, many scholars believe, well, we don't know. And we're not going to guess. And I'm on the part of never guess at Scripture. I'm at the part where it's an anonymous author. Maybe David, great. If not, we don't know. But it doesn't change the story. So we're going with an anonymous author for Psalm 71. We don't know who wrote this, but this is what we do know about the author. And this is huge, because I want you to get this. Here we know that the one who penned this in his old age. He penned this as an old age saint, man. He's gone through it. Been there, done that. And when you buy in to the truth of Psalm 71, listen, what happens when you understand we're reading something from somebody who's been there, done that. For somebody, a saint, who's understood what it is to walk with Jesus in his day, having a fear and reverence of God, to walk in a reverence of God. Our day, New Testament, to walk in Jesus, still having a reverence and a fear of God. We see this from this age saint. This is what I love about BC. We've got those from pregnancy all the way up to those who are at the end of the fourth quarter. Those who've done life. And we have every age available in this church. And I love it, man, if you ever get opportunity to sit down with an aged saint, the one who's been there, done that, the one who's understood what it was to hold the ground, the one who knows what it means to take hits inside and outside, and you're able to have conversations from these aged saints, you can gain so much from what their stories are and their testimonies and what it meant to them to say, hold, don't quit. I didn't quit. I was in the same place. Man, don't quit. Hold. There's light at the end of the tunnel. And these aged saints are at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And they've held on to their hope. And this is the picture of what we see from an aged saint. And we're not going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 71, but I would encourage you to read it, because you see where he's got scars inside and outside. He's got battle wounds. He's been there. He's done that. He knows what it means to hold on. He knows what it means to hold on to your hope. And I love this. I love this, because what we see through this whole psalm is that he comes to a place, and I love it, this unknown aged saint. He says, listen, this is what I know. This is what I know. He says, this is what I've learned. I've learned who I'm supposed to trust in. I know whom I'm supposed to put my hope in. And I know who I'm supposed to thank. This is what he says. Could you imagine taking this psalm going, listen, in all of life, at the end of my day, at the end of the fourth quarter, this is what I've learned. I've learned in who I'm supposed to put my trust in. I've learned in whom I'm supposed to put my confident expectation in, who I'm supposed to put my hope in. And I know at the end of the day who I'm supposed to be most thankful for and who deserves my highest praise. We land right here in Psalm 71, verse 14. It says this. But as for me, what happens when you come to the end of the day? You say, listen, I've seen a lot of people come and go. I've seen a lot of people walk in faith and then waver. I've seen a lot of people walk in a place they have high hopes and then lose it all. What happens when you can land on this at the end of the day and you say, but as for me, listen, I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not looking behind me. But as for me, God, this is me and you. Listen, when you understand, at the end of the day, you realize your hope is your business. Your hope is your choice. We can be hope bearers. We can encourage people. We can bring hope to people that hope that they grab it and hope that they hold on to it. But your hope is your choice. We've got to get that. We can be people that are light. We can be people that have hope, that it can be contagious. But at the end of the day, you have to make your own decision and your own choice to say, but as for me, watch what he says. I will hope continually. I will. My choice. Because you can actually say, but as for me, I won't hope continually. No, but as for me, hope is conditional. But as for me, hope, I put conditions on hope. If everything's going good, bright future. If I'm getting hit on all sides, time to quit. Man, church, this is the deal when you understand, but as for me, I will. I will hope continually. I will hope continually. And the word continually, it means at all times. At all times. Yays, nays, ups, downs, brokenness, completeness. You walk into place in every season of life, in every condition of life. What happens? What happens when your anchor is your hope? What happens when you hold on to hope? What happens when you always, watch this now, in Christ, we always have something to look forward to, man. We always have a place to go in our emotions. We always have a thing called hope that we can grab onto because it is our confident expectation of that which is ahead. I will, but as for me, I will hope. I will have a confident expectation. I will believe that there is absolutely light at the end of the tunnel in every season that I'm in. At all times. What causes you to lose your hope? What causes you to see that light at the end of the tunnel go out? Because here we have this saint here. It says this, but as for me, I will hope continually. Watch this, and I will praise you. See, hope goes into praise. We've got trust that goes into hope, and then hope goes into praise. And then next week, maybe one or two more weeks, we're going to really speak on what praise looks like. But as for me, I will sing. And I'm so pumped to close this series out with, but as for me, I will sing. I will praise. I will worship. This is what he says. He says, listen, my hope, it leads into my praise. If I start losing hope, my praise may start to dim. But as for me, watch this, but as for me, man, I will continually, at all times, I will yet praise you yet more and more. There's a praise that increases when hope still continues. I love this. Look at verse, turn it over, Psalm 71, same Psalms, verse 5. It says this, but for you, look what he says. Now, you got to get this. This is huge. He's given us an age comparison here. For you are my hope. So where is it? He said, listen, I put all my hope. Man, I have put all my eggs in one basket. This is what this psalmist says. I put all my eggs in one, all my eggs of hope, they're on you. Watch this now. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence. You are my confidence since my youth. Now, I love this because he's saying, listen, even since I was a child, man, even in my youth, and this is why it's so important. We've got so many teenagers here. We've got so many college students here. We've got this whole new ministry, the line 18 to 25. What an amazing time to look at an old saint and say, listen, I got it early. What happens if you and I, and who we are as teenagers, as young adults, what happens if you pick up on this early on what it means to hope? Because he said, listen, I got this at a young age. I put my hope in you as a young age. I love this. Look at this. For you are my hope, O Lord God. For you are my confidence from my youth. You can imagine he's writing this, going over his past experiences. He's writing this knowing, God, you have been with me. When I walked on this line, God, you have been with me. And I've walked over here, God, and I struggled over here. But God, I know that you were with me. My hope hasn't wavered. And then I was over here. Man, this was a crazy season of life. But God, what I know from my past experiences is, God, in all of these moments, I still yet put my hope in you. What happens? What happens at a young age? You come to a place to understand this truth, to say, even from my youth, I put my hope in you. You are where my confidence lies. I have my expectation upon you. See, where do we put our expectation? In a system? Do we put our expectation on people? Do you put a high expectation on your husband or your wife? You come to a place to say, but as for me, my hope is in you. And I love what he says here. He says, For you are my hope. For you are my confidence. For you are my high expectation, even from my youth. And what happens when you come to a place, church, what happens when you come to a place, say, God, I need to tap into what that hope is. And please hear this, man. If you know Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has come and dwelt and put himself in your spirit, that you can tap in at any moment to the love of God through the Holy Spirit and understand what love and joy and peace and being patient and kind and gentle and walking in this place, what it means to say, man, in the authority of the Holy Spirit, I am going to tap into the hope that is rightfully mine. And I choose that hope. I want you to see this. Come on, Psalm 39. Psalm 39 says this, because we have to understand. I love this verse. I love this verse. It says this. And then this is from David. He says this. And now, Lord, for what do I wait for? Or your version may say, for where do I look? I love this. He says, for where? He's in this minute of a prayer, and he's saying, God, what am I looking for? Where am I looking for hope? And then he says this, for my hope is in you. For my hope is in you. Can I ask you, like, where is it that you look for hope? Where is it when you're in the season? Where is it when you're in the lows? Where is it? Where have you put your confidence in? It's a serious question. And it's a question that needs to be answered within our heart, going, God, why isn't my hope been on you? For where is it that I've looked? Where is it that I've put my attention? Where is it that I've come to this place to say, God, my hope is in you, and I look to you? Come on, Psalm 31. This is a point where you understand. Here's the benefit. I want you to see it. Psalm 31, 24 says this. Be strong and let your heart take courage. See, we ask, okay, what's the real benefit of hope? Psalm 31, 24 gives us this amazing picture of what the benefit is. And it says, listen, be strong and of good courage. I love this, be strong. And that's talking about holding on. That's talking about being mighty. Be strong and of good courage. Good courage means to be courageous. It means to be fearless. It means to be bold. Look at what's birthed out of hope. This is what's birthed out of hope. Be strong. Be one who knows what it is to hold on. Be one who knows what it is not to quit. Be strong and courageous. For watch this. For all of you who hope in the Lord. So you say, okay, what is the benefit to hope? Well, what's the big picture of this? The big picture is I've come to a place to be strong. I've come to a place to be bold. I've come to a place to be courageous. I've come to a place to truly put my hope on him. And the result of that, what happens, honestly, when you come to this place and say, God, okay, this is the deal. This is the big picture. This is the real picture. I believe that you are the creator of the universe. I believe that you are all powerful. I believe that you know all things. And in that, man, I'm not putting my hope in this. I'm not putting my hope in Believer's Chapel. I can come to Believer's Chapel and be encouraged and be built up, but I'm not going to just put my hope in the church because the church is going to screw up and blow it. I'm not going to put my hope just in my husband because my husband's going to screw up and blow it. I'm not going to just put all my hope into the eggs of the basket of my wife because guess what? She's eventually one day maybe going to blow it. Right, man? Maybe, possibly. Maybe she'll blow it. Get that, man. Your wife should elbow you in the nose right now. Anyways, because you didn't agree with me that they're almost perfect. But they're not. But you come to a point to say, well, where am I actually going to put my hope? And if you really, honestly, if you get this, if you come to a place to realize what it means to put your hope in Him, there's a boldness and there's a confidence that comes with this. Last verse, and then we close. And I need you to turn there because it's Psalm 121 and it's such a staple verse. And you come to a place to understand what this picture looks like. And this has kind of been, this kind of a life verse. And I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday and just encouraging her in what this looks like and what this means in Psalm 121. Because I guess the question is this, where is it that you put your hope? And I love this because watch this now, because our posture matters. Like you see people when they're down like this and their eyes are down, their posture is one that's just like, you know, when you see somebody who's down and out, their posture tells the story. You can read people pretty easy. You can come to a place to understand, man, they're just struggling. Their demeanor is down. Their posture is down. And what happens, watch this now, what happens when our hope matches our posture? What happens when we come to a place to begin to change our posture. And I love this. Here it says this. I will lift, watch this. I will lift up my eyes to the mountain. I will lift up my eyes. And this is literal. Like I am lifting up my eyes. Listen, I'm not going to be droopy. I'm not looking at the ground. I'm not going to have my shoulders sag no matter what season. At all times, my hope is continually. At all times, my hope is in you. You, Lord, are my hope. And in that, man, I'm going to lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where does my help come from? Verse 2 says, my help comes from the maker of the heavens and the earth. Church, where do you understand? Where does your help come from? Just as David cried out, for what do I look for? For what do I wait for? For where is my hope? You come to this place, say, man, I'm going to lift. I'm going to change my posture. I'm going to lift my eyes up to the mountains. From where does my help come from? The maker of the heavens and the earth. And I love this idea that you come to a place saying, where is my eyes? Am I one who walks with posture that's down, looking down? Am I one who says, listen, no matter what season of life I'm in, I'm going to lift my eyes up. I'm going to lift my eyes up. And I'm going to walk into place to know what my posture looks like. I'm going to walk into place to know, man, I need a little hope. And let me share. This is so good. This is so good. If you're in this place and you're like, man, I need to understand that there's light at the end of the tunnel. I need to get that picture. Then listen, this is what we need to do. It's simple. When you come to a place, say, what am I feeding my mind? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you come to a place to believe that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Church, what is it that you're downloading? If you are lacking hope, if you've come to a place to find yourself in a circumstance, to find yourself back against the wall, find yourself, man, I love Psalm 71. I love the age saying, don't quit. I've been there. I've got the wounds. I've got the scars that are within. I've got the scars on the outside. Hold your ground for hope. But as for me, come on, church, but as for me, I will hope continually. My hope isn't contingent on my circumstance. My hope isn't contingent on a great day. My hope isn't contingent when everything goes right. My hope will be contingent on who I know you are. Church, what happens when you can buy into that? Say, no, I'm going to speak life. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. No. Man, he thinks about me more than there are in the sands. No, wait a minute. I'm his handcraftsmanship, created in his likeness. What happens, church, when you begin to speak the truth of God's word over your life? And you begin to understand. Watch this. Psalm 119, 114. We close with this. It'll be up on your screen. I'm going to ask you, how much are you diving in and feasting on his word? For you are my hiding place and my shield. For you are my hiding place and you are my shield. Watch this. For my hope is in your word. For my hope is in your word. Can you just bow your heads, please? And you're in this place this morning. Can you sit here and can you say, but as for me, my hope has been continually on him. My hope has not been contingent on my season of life. You know, my hope hasn't wavered because my hope isn't in circumstance. My hope isn't in people. My hope isn't in my marriage. My hope isn't in my finances. My hope is in the one who does not change. My finances can change, but God cannot. Unfortunately, marriage can change, but God cannot. Jobs can change, but God cannot. Circumstance can change, but God, where is it that you've put your hope? What happens when today you come to a place and say, no, it's time to rearrange. It's time to change my posture. It's time, today in this moment, it's time to put my hope on a rock and my shield, my deliverer who changes not. And I put my hope on him. Therefore, my hope, my idea in my spirit that there is always light at the end of the tunnel, it's not based on my circumstance. It's based on the one who is my rock, the one who is my refuge, the one who is unchanging, the one who is my Lord, my Master, my Savior, and my Redeemer. That you, O Lord, are my hope. And I put my hope in the wrong place. I put my hope on the wrong person. I put my hope in a good circumstance. With your eyes closed, I just want to say this, and this isn't negative in a sense of being worried about tomorrow. Please hear this. But you're one day away from a really bad day. One day. We don't know what tomorrow holds. You could be one day away from a real bad season. What do you do with your hope then? What happens? What happens if we take the advice of this old saint to say, from my youth, I put my hope in you? What happens if we can do a shift? What happens if we can do a transfer today? Put our hope in him. Wherever you're at in this place this morning, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but I want you to acknowledge, man, I put my hope on person, places, and things. I put my hope on circumstances. And man, I have this never-ending teeter-totter of hope. Hope is good when things are good. Hope is lost when things are bad. And it's so dangerous to your soul and it's so dangerous to your spirit. What happens if you come to a place this morning to do a transfer? And can I ask you this? It's a journey, church. It didn't take you one day to lose your hope. We can start a journey today in this moment, in this time of prayer, to say it's time to transfer. It's time to start to put my hope back on him. And I've kind of lost my hope, and I've kind of lost my way, and I've kind of lost my joy because I felt hopeless. But I put my hope in things that I should have never put my hope into. Bob, but if this is you, I won't pray for you. And you're like, man, it's time to transfer my hope back, not off of the circumstance and off of other people. It's time to put my hope where I can come to a place this morning to really walk out of this place to say, I've made a statement today. But as for me, my hope will be continually of you. Put your hand in the air, please. Put your hand in the air, hold it up high. Say, God, I'm making a statement right now that it's just It's time to make a transfer. It's time to say, God, no more. I'm not putting my hope in things that can't last. I'm not putting my hope in people who may not be here tomorrow. I'm not putting my hope in my finances that could crash. God, I put my hope in you. Jesus' name, we come to a place this morning with all these hands up to say, God, it's time to transfer. God, it's time to shift. And in this moment, God, we take our eyes off of anything else that we've lost hope in. And we put our eyes in you, which is unchangeable. You who are our rock. You who are our refuge. You who are our shield. You who are our hiding place. God, we come to a place as this age, saint, to say today is the start of whatever age we're in. To say today is the day that I start to say, from my youth I put my hope in you. From my 50s I put my hope in you. From my 60s I put my hope in you. From my 80s I put my, today's the day that there's a transfer to take place. And I come to a place this afternoon to say, in this moment, God, transfer. I put my hope in you. Restore a hope in me. Help me to know that there is light at the end of this tunnel. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. Thank you for this moment. That we walk out of this place full. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen, church. Come on, amen. Amen.